All right. Please take out your Bibles. You can turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 13, actually. Okay, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is week three of our series, Relationship Helps from Jesus. But different things that Jesus teaches us that we can apply to having strong, healthy relationships. Does anybody remember the themes from the last 2 weeks? This is week three. Anyone, do you remember the themes from the last 2 weeks? Can you say them? Be generous. Live generously. That was last week. Courage. We needed courage. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. This takes courage to do all this. Love is sacrificial. We said that was last week too. That was part of being generous. And the first week I started with Jesus saying we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? This week might just be the hardest of all five. So we have two verses we're going to read. The first one is John 13:34. A new command I give you, Jesus says. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Then he more or less repeats that in John 15:12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now notice, this is a command. Both times he says, I'm giving you a command. You are to love as he loves you. Okay? Not if you feel like it. You know, or this is kind of a good idea. Maybe if you're bored this afternoon, you should love people as I loved you. Even anybody named Brady. Even Tom Brady. There was a woman who thought she was going to be ordained in a couple of weeks. I've got a phone call to make this afternoon. Okay, it is not optional. We are called to love as Jesus has loved us. You know, as Christians, we profess Jesus is Lord. That means he's master. He's in charge. So his commands stand. We are required to obey him. We need to love people as he has loved us. But what does that mean, right? What does it mean to love as Jesus loves us? Is that some kind of a gushy feeling? We have to generate some kind of a gushy feeling for people all the time? No. But what did he do? What did Jesus do to show his love? I've got a list of five things. What Jesus did to show his love for us. Okay, one of the things that Jesus does to show his love is he makes himself available. Now, if you think about it, Jesus took the initiative to be among us. He took the initiative to be born as a human. We could not get to God, right? We're without God's work, without the forgiveness, without the grace, without the work of Christ in our lives, we are stuck, we are trapped. We cannot get to God. I mean, that's basic Christian understanding. It's called depravity. We're fallen. So he came to us. Philippians tells us that Jesus emptied himself and he was born as one of us. He took the initiative. He did the action. Even so far as not just being born, but, you know, we learn from the Bible that no one can stand to see the fullness of the glory of God. You know, Moses wanted to see God, and when God passed by, God hid Moses with his hand. Otherwise, Moses would die from the experience of being exposed to God's glory. Well, that glory belongs to Jesus, and he had to shed it so he could live among us, so that we could see him, we could talk to him. He could walk among us. You know, if we lived in that day, we could have walked along beside him as we walk with anybody else. And Jesus walked the earth. As he walked the earth, he spent time with regular people, the poor, the lowlife, right? The sinners of the world. He was constantly chastised for hanging around with people who were just bad people. I'm encouraged by that because without Christ, I'm pretty much a bad people. Aren't we all? You know, the ones who accused him of hanging around sinners and were so upset about it were very self-righteous. They saw themselves as being very good people. But Jesus hung around all the people who recognized that they were just in need of God. Jesus hung around the children, right? The disciples try to stop the kids, the little ones, from coming to Christ because they're not really all necessarily all that important, and Jesus has important things to do. And Jesus says, no, don't stop them from coming to me. They're important too. The kingdom of God belongs to little ones. He makes himself available. He makes himself available to us. Every Wednesday night, and we're having our prayer service, it comes to mind some other times too, but every Wednesday night as we start to pray, God just brings to mind that it is such an awesome experience and such an incredible thing that God will just meet us here Wednesday night at 5:30. You know, if two of us show up, if five of us show up, if seven of us show up, God is here. He makes himself available. So how do we love as Jesus loves us? Well, we make ourselves available to people. That doesn't mean I would make time for you when you interject into my life and I can't get away from you anymore. Or I will talk to you if you pin me against the wall and staple my shirt to the wall so I can't get away. You know, you tackle me and I'm shackled to the floor, so now I have to talk to you. I will make myself available. I will strive to be available to people. I mean, how might that change your priorities a little bit? What about making a little bit of time available so you can be with people? And then hunting up opportunities to actually talk to people. Now, the introverts of you in the congregation are thinking, you know, why don't you just rip my fingernails out or something instead? Okay, but nope, you got to do this too. There's no pass for the introverts, okay? Doesn't count. We can make ourselves available to people. You know, it might mean emptying ourselves a little bit. It might mean emptying our schedules. It might mean emptying ourselves of our own attitudes. You know, I'm willing to hang around people who are beneath me. People don't take this personally. People routinely will just, you know, apologize for talking to me because they know I'm so busy. You know, it happens a lot. You know, I'm sorry to take your time because I know you're so busy. And well, I tend to be busy. I mean, I work one day a week. What do you want? Okay. You know, And I tend to be kind of busy. I will agree with that. But it is wrong if I am too busy for people. I can't be that busy. I must not be that busy. I'm not too busy for you. You know, if you want to take me out to the Beef and Barrel tomorrow afternoon, you know, and buy me lunch, I can probably make time for that. If you want to take me out to the Beef and Barrel after church, I'm going to wait on that since they're closed on Sundays. But so Jesus makes himself available. Another thing Jesus does is he offers healing. Jesus healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed the deaf. He healed the sick. You read the Gospels, and every time you turn around, Jesus is healing somebody, it seems. He healed people with leprosy. He touched people who were untouchable. You know, when he healed people with leprosy, you know, when you're a leper, you have to leave the community. So people are truly outcast. All they can do is be around other lepers. So as he heals a leper, he's allowing them back into the community again. That's even more than a physical healing. That's a relational healing. So how do we love as Jesus loves us? Well, we can pray for healing for people. There are a lot of hurt, sick people. I mean, how often does somebody ask you to pray for something and you say yes, and then within 30 seconds, right, it's just gone. Well, what about really praying for people? If you have to make a list, make a list. I mean, my memory of things is terrible. Okay? I mean, I keep a calendar with me. It's right here. I keep prayer lists with me. I have cards I pray over. If I don't write this stuff down, I forget. And I routinely will take stuff and I'll have notes and I'll write it all down so I can go add it to the appropriate list later so that I can remember to pray for stuff. Because I know if I don't write it down, there's just no way. Right? It's just not going to happen. So maybe you have to do that. Pray for people. God still heals. God answers prayer. Prayer is our way of connecting people to God's work. We find these people in need, and we know that God heals, and prayer is our way of trying to connect them together and let God work in that person's life. How else do we love as Jesus loves us? Well, we can be forces of restoration. We can try to help restore people. We have deeply wounded people, emotionally, relationally hurt. And most everybody hide their wounds as best they can. If you're sitting in a room like this size and you have like this many people, somewhere around 100% of them are wounded. Because life does that. And if you're in a group like this, most people don't express their wounds. Most people don't let you know. But the effects still come out. I mean, some of the most wounded people are just prickly, like porcupines. And the expression is, hurting people hurt people. And we hide this stuff, and then it comes out of us. When you're around the prickly people of the world, the porcupines, right? The people you don't really like to be around because they're always jabbing you or something, right? You know, they've got this real sharp little needle that's like this long, and they just poke you. chances are that person is really, really, really hurting. We need God's discernment to see past the bristles, to see past the needles, and try to help. The most difficult people to love need to be loved too. The most difficult people to love need to be loved also. I struggle with it. Okay, there are people who just grate on the things that are inside of me, right? You know, I've been around people that, you know, they scratch their fingernails down the chalkboard. That doesn't bother me at all, right? I mean, just whatever, you know? But I know a lot of people respond to that. Well, there are people in my life who are like that whenever I'm around them, and it drives me up the wall. You know, they have the power of stopping gravity, right? I'm going up the wall, right? It's amazing. But I need to try to love them as well, because Jesus loves me. I mean, I can be kind of grating too. I know it shocks you, but I can be kind of grating too. If you ever want to laugh, you know, ask Billy Joe sometime. Yeah. Heather is coming home next weekend. She'll be here next Sunday, I'm assume. So you can ask her just how grating I can be. You know. So we need to love those who are difficult to love. We need to try to offer healing to people. Jesus also forgives us. I didn't even try to count. I thought about it, but then I said, no. Didn't even try to count the number of times that Jesus tells people they're forgiven. Right? Jesus heals all kinds of people, and he forgives people all over the Gospels. It's scandalous how easily he forgives people. And the Pharisees, it just upsets them tremendously. Jesus even forgives the people who crucify him, right? He's hanging on the cross, dying a horribly painful death. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. He forgives people that others want to condemn. Right? He forgives the worst of the worst. He forgives the harlots. He forgives the tax collectors. Anybody who is willing to follow Christ finds forgiveness. So how do we love as Jesus loves us? We offer forgiveness. We even offer forgiveness to those who deserve it the least. And I don't forgive others because they necessarily deserve it. I forgive others because Jesus forgives me. I don't deserve it. A couple points about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Okay? You don't say, look, I haven't forgiven him yet because I don't have this warm, fuzzy feeling about this person yet. Okay, forgiveness is an act of will. It's a choice. Forgiveness means choosing to stop rehearsing the pain. You know how, you know, somebody has hurt you, they betrayed you, whatever they've done, and every time you're alone or just way too often, you let your mind go there and you keep and you re-go over what they did and you re-go over what you wish you could say to them and you rehearse the pain. Well, stop it. Forgiveness is I'm just not going to rehearse it anymore. I'm going to try to let go of the pain and I'm going to ask God to help me do it. I'm going to focus on God and on God's work in my life instead of the hurt that I have received. Okay, because God's going to take this. He's going to help you to grow in this. He's going to make you more holy through this whole thing. And what people have meant to use to harm you, God's going to use to help you, or he's going to use to help others. And you got to try to focus on that. Forgiveness means choosing to offer grace. to the person as best you can. Pray for the person. Pray real blessings on the person. Okay, you know, one of these, Lord, you know, I want to pray a blessing on him, so help him to really see what a mean, nasty scoundrel he is and how bad he hurt me. You know, I don't want him to die, but make it really, really, really close. You know, matter of fact, I don't want him to die, but make him wish he did because it was hurt so bad. I mean, you know, those are not prayers of blessings, right? You know, bless him with termites in his house. You know, I mean, I know he needs a new roof, so please bless him with shingles all over his body. See, all those things, that stuff doesn't work. Okay, those are not blessings. Pray real blessings upon people. And that's hard. It takes a lot of courage. It's hard when people have hurt you, I mean, and deeply hurt you, to start praying that they are blessed, that they find joy, that God works in their lives. Forgiveness means I will keep choosing to forgive every time the pain starts to come back. Every time the pain rears its head, I'm going to forgive. You know, God, I forgave this, so please, again, help me to set this pain aside. Help me to focus on what you're doing in my life, how you're preparing me for more. I want to forgive as I have been forgiven. Those are all acts of will. So Jesus forgives us, and we can try to forgive others. Jesus also gently shows us the truth. Jesus doesn't lie. He says the truth to people. It gets him in trouble all the time. You know, his parables, as Jesus talks in parables, you know, he explains things about God. We learn interesting things about God that we don't learn any other way in the way Jesus teaches us about the Father and about the kingdom. We learn about right living. We learn about how God rules in our lives and what it's like to follow God. You know, some of his sermons, like the Sermon on the Mount, reveal God's heart. He talks about how we should treat each other. Those are all truth. Jesus also speaks the truth by labeling sin as sin. He doesn't justify evil. You know, he doesn't say, he doesn't let people off because of their upbringing. You know, right? Well, you know, his mom and dad were just terrible parents, so it's okay. It doesn't really count. Yeah, here are some quotes of Jesus. Go and sin no more. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. You are right when you say you have no husband. Fact is, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have isn't your husband. Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites, you snakes, you brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Well, that's pretty strong. You know, he labels sin as sin. He also shows the truth. He acts lovingly to people, even when it gets him in trouble. Right? He forgives people when people get upset about it. He heals people, you know, on the Sabbath. You know, it's Saturday, it's the Sabbath, and he heals people. And the religious leaders are just upset because he's breaking their version of the Sabbath law. And And he heals anyway. He cleanses the temple of the money changers. Okay? That whole system, the money changer thing, right? People are coming to worship God, and they need to offer sacrifices. They know that. And these people who are in charge of the temple, their job is to help them. Help these people, all the people of Israel, come and worship God and make their sacrifices. And instead of helping, they set up this system that inherently robs the people. It's crooked. They're getting rich off of it. And Jesus says, this is wrong. You got to stop robbing people. You got to stop hurting people. And it gets them in trouble. So how do we love as Jesus loves us? Well, we take the risk to be truthful. And that's a risk. We stand for what is right, even when we can get hurt for it. We stand for the little guy when a bully is acting out. When systems and rules are hurting people, then we do what we can to fix the problems. When truth is politically incorrect, we still speak the truth. We deal honestly and gently with people. Now, if we're going to speak the truth in love, what you say has to be for the person's benefit. Okay? And I mean really for their benefit. You need to find things to say to people that will help them, not just make you feel better. Okay? Speaking the truth in love should never be about your issues. Often people do that, by the way. I just need to speak the truth to you so lovingly, and then they spout off their own issues and try to make you feel bad for it. This needs about really helping them. It is never loving to lash out at other people because of your struggles. We harm many people that way. In speaking the truth in love, if you have to share a hurtful thing, it will hurt you at least as much as the person you're telling it to. It'll probably hurt you more. Speaking the truth in love, if you want to say it, don't. First rule, if you're looking forward to telling them this, you know, don't. If you're arguing with God, God, can you have somebody else please do this? When I worked at Dresser Rand, one of my early things, I had just become a supervisor, and safety stuff, they just come out that these ladders we were using, these kind of ladders with a stand at the top and using it for assembly, they only held 350 pounds. And we had people we sure weighed significantly more than that. And I had one. So I had to go ask this guy, you know, basically, you know, do you weigh over 350 pounds? Because if so, I've got to get you a special ladder. That was not a fun conversation. It really wasn't. You know? Now, I did it because actually I had to. I didn't make a choice. But I dreaded that thing. I mean, I kept rehearsing different ways to go through it. You know, how on earth can I do this so I don't crush this guy? You know? And yeah, 350 was way back. If you want to say it, don't. And if you're going to speak the truth in love, deal with your own issues first. Don't talk about the speck of sin in somebody else's life when you've got a log of sin in yours. First, take care of your stuff. But we need to be truthful with people. People need to know. When people come to me and, you know, is it okay, Pastor, that I'm... It's like, do you really want to know the answer, or are you just looking for me to make you feel better? Because if you want me to make you feel better, you better just leave before I answer you. I've done that to people. You know, it's really okay that I'm living with my girlfriend. I mean, nobody really cares. That is so old-fashioned. The Bible doesn't really care, does it? You know, God doesn't care. I mean, I'm in love with her. Well, let me tell you. I got to tell you the truth. The last thing then, Jesus shows his love to everyone. He shows his love to all. He forgave his killers. I already mentioned that. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were alienated from God, while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10, this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. God's love came first. He came and loved us enough to send his son, and his son loved us enough to die for us so that we can come to him. So how do we love as Jesus loves us? We treat all people the way Jesus treats us. No one's beyond hope. Nobody. Not even Tom Brady. That was an excellent illustration for me. Even Tom Brady is not beyond hope. That person who hurt you deeply is not beyond hope. No one is beyond helping. Love your enemies and pray for them. Jesus says that. He says, as much as you can, live at peace with people. As much as you can, live at peace with people. Maybe some people aren't going to be with you at all. They aren't going to live at peace with you. They're going to fight you all the time. They're going to argue. Well, then just that's the way they are. But at best you can, you love people and you live at peace with them. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. In order to bring praise to God. As Christ has accepted you, you accept all people. Now, you don't have to wallow in sin with people. Okay? People will tell you that if you're going to, I mean, I have had this. You know, accepting me and loving me means letting me do what I want to do. I had a man argue with me because I wouldn't buy him cigarettes. I'm not buying you cigarettes. And he had the money. He just couldn't go buy them. I wasn't going to pay for them. Well, I'm not buying you cigarettes. I mean, you're going to smoke, you're going to get cigarettes some other way. You don't have to wallow in sin with people. Okay? You don't have to let people keep hurting you. When people don't want help, when people won't admit that they need help, you don't have to keep chasing them and nagging them. Okay? There are tons of people that I pray for and I'm looking for opportunities to help, and they absolutely don't want it right now. So I'm just waiting. You don't have to chase people down. You don't have to nag anybody. You don't have to join in the sin. But help people as you can. Reconcile with those you can reconcile. Wait and watch for opportunities when people want to climb out of the cesspool. And as soon as they want to climb out, while their hands are still dirty and smelly like what a cesspool would smell like, take them by the hand and help them up. And if you have to, give them a bear hug and help lift them right up out of it. I mean, don't be afraid to get dirty for people who really, really want help. We're commanded to love each other as Jesus loves us. We really don't have a choice. And to do that, we need God. We have to rely on Him to do everything I've talked about today. We need His love pouring out of us. We need His discernment. We need the fruit of the Spirit. We need to let God work. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to go out and love each other. Please stand as I pray. Lord God, this is hard stuff. And if any of us will stop and admit it, we are not up to this. Lord, I know that you don't just give us what we can do. You have laid before us today a task that we cannot do on our own. You have laid before us a task that makes us extremely dependent upon you. Lord, make us okay with that. Use this to remind us of our dependence. Lord, grow us in grace. Grow us in love and in patience. Grow us in wisdom so that we can know how to help people. And that we will love all those around us as you love us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.